shall never be able to get India by heart, unless I can see the places. I wish Papa would let us go reconnoitering amongst the ruined temples and other mysterious buildings. It is so annoying staying here day after day, never seeing anything outside the palace. My dear Leonor, said her companion, a young man scarcely older than herself, and wonderfully like her, what new idea have you got now? An idea of seeing more of the curious places I have read so much about. Fancy living a lifetime in a country and never going beyond one town. If I do not get some excitement, I shall die of ennui, so I warn you. I quite agree with you, and if Uncle would only let us, it would be delightful, seeking out the temple so long deserted. But you know he would not, shrugging his shoulders. I am not so sure of that. Papa never refuses me anything, and when he sees it is necessary to my happiness I should go, he will consent. Anyhow, I will try, jumping eagerly to her feet. Come, Leon. Her cousin rose and took the white, outstretched hand. Then, like two children, they crossed the beautiful marble hall, until, arriving before a door draped with rich curtains, Leonor paused and softly knocked. Come in, rather impatiently. With a smile, Leonor opened the door and entered, followed by Pantaleon. In the room, handsomely fitted up as a study, sat a fine-looking middle-aged man, busily writing. His dark face wore an expression of severity as he glanced toward the intruders. It quickly faded, however, on seeing the pretty figure standing there. Instead, a gentle smile wreathed his lips. "Well, Leonor, dearest, what is it?" "Papa," and the girl stole noiselessly behind his chair, winding her arms around his neck. "I am so miserable. I have nothing to amuse me, and unless you do something to make me happier, I shall go melancholy mad." "My dearest child, what is the matter? Are you ill?" anxiously turning to peer into the lovely face. "No, Papa, but I am so tired of this life." "That is not like my little girl, and I have tried hard to make you happy. Nothing in reason I have refused you. Jewels such as a queen might envy, priceless stuffs to deck your pretty form, and other things which no girl of your age ever possessed," reproachfully. Leonor bent down and kissed his brow, lovingly, repentingly. "You have been a great deal too good to me. But there is something more I wish to ask. It will make me happy if you grant my request." "We shall see. Tell me first what it is." Leonor briefly related her wish to visit the old temple which lay beyond Goa, to search with Pantaleon the curious old ruins she had often read of in her studies. Don Gracia looked grave. Evidently this project did not find much favor in his eyes. A Portuguese by birth, but sent to Goa as viceroy, Don Garcia de Sa had lived there long enough to know the treacherous nature of the Brahmins who dwelt near, and feared to let his child run the risk of being found and captured. But as Leonor had truly remarked, he loved his daughter so passionately that he very rarely refused her anything, even though he doubted the wisdom of complying with her wishes. "Papa," the sweet voice was very coaxing, and the red lips close to his cheek, "say yes, darling, it will make me so happy. But suppose any danger should threaten you?" "I should be there to defend my cousin with my life," Leon cried fervently. Don Gracia smiled. "You speak bravely, my boy, but as yet you are very young. However, as Leonor has set her heart upon this expedition, I suppose I must say yes. In case of danger, I will send some soldiers to escort you."
"Oh, thank you, Papa. I am so glad. Come, Leon, we will make haste, so as to set off ere the day gets more advanced."
And warmly embracing her father, the girl sped swiftly away, followed by her cousin. In half an hour the cortege was ready, and after some little hesitation on Don Garcia's part, they started. Leonor, with her two favorite maids, Lali and Tala, were cozily seated on a palanquin carried by four strong men. Before clearing her path from all difficulties, went a body of 25 soldiers. Beside her, Pantaleon kept up a cheerful conversation, pointing out the beauties of the palaces through which they passed. Some 20 natives, armed with poniards, brought up the rear. Toki, a native who had grown old in the viceroy's palace, led the way toward one of the ruined temples, that erected to Shiva, the god of destruction. Leonor gazed with awed eyes at the